From the American Tobacco Historic District, this is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. In eastern North Carolina, economic development has bypassed, by large, the poorest counties. Instead, they are a place for industries that other more populated regions in the state would not want, hog farms and paper mills, for instance. Some eastern North Carolina counties are poised to bring in a new industry, landfills. The Raleigh-based company Waste Management wants to set up several dumps in eastern counties so that it can haul in trash from out of state. Actually, a lot of trash, which at one site could eventually create a pile of garbage 270 feet high, a mountain on an otherwise flat landscape. Now, the counties say this could also bring them piles of money that they need, and so, they say, bring it on. But the question is any industry better than no industry? Could the landfill accepted today, that becomes the mountain of trash tomorrow, keep other cleaner businesses from ever setting up shop in eastern North Carolina? And aside from the olfactory and visual issues, what are the environmental costs of these industries? How should eastern North Carolina, the perennially poorer part of the state, grow? We welcome your calls this hour, your suggestions. Our number is 1-877-962-9862. That's 1-877-962-9862. Rick Martinez is with us. He is a columnist. He has a column that appears in the News and Observer, and he's been looking into this. Welcome back to The State of Things, Rick.
Thank you for having me.
Well, question is bringing landfills to this typically poorer part of the state, is that a solution?
Yeah, I think it is for a couple of reasons. I'm actually very familiar with eastern North Carolina, and I previously worked for the electric cooperatives in this state, and those are the nonprofits that bring electric power to the rural parts of the state. The part of the state that a lot of people don't see, and a lot of it is eastern North Carolina. It is a very tough area to attract industry. And so being able to bring the landfills, I think, is a good positive sign for that part of the state.
What of the argument that is made that this could keep other industries from coming there? Because if they wanted to set up shop, they may not be pleased to be nearby.
I think that's somewhat of a myth because, for example, these landfills are referred to as dumps, and I think everyone kind of gets a picture in their mind of what would consider a third world dump, where you basically have open areas of trash and seagulls and so forth. And those days are gone. Of course, you can't do anything these days without being environmentally protected, and especially in the state of North Carolina. So I think that if the public case is made to exactly what these landfills are, I think that, I can tell you no one's not going to come to a particular county because they happen to have a landfill. I mean, that just doesn't make any business sense.
You don't think there are going to be any seagulls there?
Well, again, there might be some, but there are seagulls here in RTP. You'll see seagulls that will come around various, garbage areas like after festivals and so forth. So it is not a problem that I would see that would harm the environment significantly or push business away.
We were talking about eastern North Carolina, the economy there. One of the latest ideas in that part of the state is to have several landfills set up there. These would take in waste from out of state by and large. And we're talking about the pros and cons of that. We welcome your calls. The number is 1-877-962-9862. Rick Martinez, who writes a column for the News and Observer, is with us. And joining us now by phone from his office at East Carolina University is Ron Nowacek, who is Associate Chancellor of Economic and Community Development at ECU. Welcome to The State of Things.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Well, what's your take on this latest proposal for some of the eastern counties in North Carolina?
Well, I think, Rick said on a couple of things that is very important there. One is the question about clearly it's being viewed by the counties as an opportunity to increase revenue for the area. And it is an industry coming in. On the other side, I think the question about the people's perception of what that's going to do to the region is going to become important to some extent. This region relies quite a bit on tourism. We're becoming an area that's very attractive for retirees. And if it's handled correctly, and let's say it meets all the environmental constraints, and we find that it really is not going to become something viewed as, quote, a dump, but rather as another you know, landfill or something that may be there for the community. It may be something that will be a benefit to the community and to the region. But on the other hand, if it becomes something that's viewed that, again, we're talking about people's perceptions here. If people perceive it as, well, I don't want to go there anymore because they've got this dump and they've got all these other issues going on, then it could become a detractor for the region itself.
Mm. Well, practically speaking, on two fronts, those who might go to at least the northeastern part of the state often drive through on their way to the Outer Banks. I mean, that's a reality. So if they're passing a large mountain of trash, would that affect them going to the Outer Banks? But that does get to the point that this would, when you mentioned not be viewed as a dump, I mean, it is going to be a pretty tall pile over time. And this is a part of the state that is flat. I mean, it will stand out.
That's right. It is going to, I mean, it'll affect the contour and the view of what people see. And that's something that's going to have to be weighed in the decision, because building it for those dollars and creating it may be something that maybe it could potentially be offset by a loss in tourism. Mm. Not only tourists driving by it, but you can also think about the situation the trucks are going to have to be traveling the roads to deliver it to. All of those issues are going to have to be considered in deciding whether or not this is a good idea.
But for the most part, so far, Rick Martinez, it appears that most of the counties that have been approached by waste management have said bring it on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of that has to do with waste management. I'm assuming this. I don't know this directly. But when they knock on someone's door, they're showing them the state of the art of technology that goes into landfills, which, you know, once again, one doesn't assume that there's state-of-the-art technology and environmental protection, you know, with the dump. People tend to just think of it as just an open pit of garbage, and it's far from that. And I think that when the case, here's going to be the very critical challenge for Eastern North Carolina counties, is that when the case is going to be made, both by the private firms and the county governments, that it is approached with an open mind, because I'll bet you a bag of donuts that every environmental group is going to come and try and muddy the waters with these and with a lot of claims that probably are not going to be the case. A lot of people who are NIMBYs, people who don't want anything in their backyard, and try and muddying the waters, and as opposed to just let the counties make their case and then go from there.
But it's an interesting turn of phrase, muddying the waters, because the water quality is an issue. As I understand it, Camden County has a rather, the water table is very close to the earth there.
Yes.
It's a low-lying county. Yeah. So this is not going to be like your typical dump that might happen, say, in the Piedmont of North Carolina, where you just bring the trash in.
Right.
It's going to require, will it not, Ron Nowacek, will it not require a liner, like a bathtub in essence?
Yes, it will. I mean, that's clearly the case. I mean, even the ones that are buried elsewhere require the liners. And so what we're looking at here, although I'm certainly not an expert in waste management, but my understanding of it is the situation would be one that the water quality will not be affected. Because the trash, if it's done correctly and if the waste is handled correctly, we're not looking at seepage into the water system. Now, the fact that the water table is so close to the surface there is going to, that's partly, I assume, what's contributing to this fact that we're going to have this 200 or so, 300 foot, whatever it is, high mountain of information, of trash at some point.
Hmm. However, you know, with Eastern North Carolina, with the hog farms, have seen problems with the lagoons of the waste from hog waste. And when it rains, so when it rains for too long, they breach. I'm not suggesting that these bathtubs, these liners might breach, but if they get filled with water, the water might rise up and spill over. Could it not? How is it going to be protected?
I don't think there's that? I don't think there's you know, with the hog farms and basically with just about any type of development, you know, there's not 100% guarantee that something, you know, won't go wrong. The question is that on the mere fact that something could go wrong, do you want to deny an environmentally friendly and safe development? And let's not forget that there is also the responsibility of the state to continue to monitor these landfills. Landfills in general are highly monitored. And once the counties decide to build these landfills, there's also a responsibility of the state to monitor them, to make sure that when you have those rains and you have those incredible events that we seem to get often, weather events, that that the facility is designed to withstand them.
Because we, what other than altruism for providing a place for garbage to come from from other places? What's in it for the counties monetarily to take this industry on? What would they get?
Well, they would get a significant tax base, and there are some jobs. Let's not kid around. Eastern North Carolina is not Central North Carolina or Western North Carolina. In fact, Eastern North Carolina loses a lot of development to Central and Western North Carolina because of the education system that in this part of the state. No offense to the professor. And the other big barrier that Eastern North Carolina has to bear is roads. It does not have the type of ground transit that Central and Western North Carolina. So I'm not saying that any good is any development is good for North Carolina, but I think that this one is in order to provide the tax base that is desperately needed in that part of the state.
And we'll continue our conversation in just a moment on the state of things, talking about the economy in eastern North Carolina. One of the latest suggestions is to put several landfills in that part of the state. Is this a good idea? Does it get the tax base that Rick Martinez just spoke of? Are there other costs that come with it? If you want to join the conversation, the number is 1-877-962-9862. More of that just ahead. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. This is The State of Things, broadcast from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Melinda Pencava, and today we're talking about Eastern North Carolina's economy, which has traditionally lagged behind other sections of the state. The latest industry that's being suggested there is several landfills that would go in northeastern and also along the southern border in eastern North Carolina. These would be landfills that would take trash over the decades from some northeastern states. And the question is this a boon for the local economy? It said that it would bring in millions of dollars for some of these counties that need the tax base. On the other hand, could it thwart further economic development in those counties? 1-877-962-9862 is the number. And with us is Rick Martinez, who writes a column for the News and Observer. And Ron Nowacek is the Associate Chancellor of Economic and Community Development at East Carolina University. And he's on the line from his office in Greenville. Muncie joins us from Sanford. Hi, Muncie.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine. Welcome to the program.
I wanted to say, Rick, the gentleman with the newspaper, is really sounding like a spokesman for the Waste Management Corporation. I grew up in Charlottesville, Virginia, about a mile and a half from our county landfill, and it started out basically as a dump. It later became just a regular landfill. There's been problems with breaks in the sealer protecting the groundwater, and there are people who've had cattle go sterile. I mean, Eastern North Carolina would be better off giving land away for free to attract development than they would be to have these the landfills are, I don't think they're the answer to anything, because once they're there, you can really just about never get them to go away.
And Muncie, one other thing, if you could you tell us a difference? You said there was a difference between a dump and a landfill. Technically, what is that?
Well, in Charlottesville, it started off, I'm 41 years old. I was had lived there my entire life. It started off where they initially would accept you could come in with a pickup truck and just push old TVs or about whatever you wanted off into a pile out there, and they would eventually just level it out, where later on it actually became more of a controlled landfill. They had different areas to contain the garbage and the different types of things that you brought in. But over the years, my parents, we had to deal with the constant trucks and the garbage flying out of the trucks all over the road, and they had a fairly a beautiful homestead out there, which they still do, and for the most part, they've stopped accepting things there, but, the trucks are a gigantic issue, and what falls out of them is an issue, and it really creates, regardless of, how controlled it is, a very messy environment.
Well, I'm going to let Rick Martinez respond to what you had to say, Muncie. Rick?
Well, one thing is that, you know, what is the technology of that particular dump? And I don't think that the fact that if I heard you correctly, that you lived a mile from it. I don't think anyone can reasonably expect that someone in that proximity have no impact of a landfill or, you know, of any type of development. And I think that is one of the things that is beginning to concern me, particularly in eastern North Carolina, is that when development comes in, is the standard to be no impact? And if that's the case, then I think eastern North Carolina will continue to lag and lag significantly from economic development in the rest of the state.
But I wonder, hog farms came to eastern North Carolina bit by bit. It wasn't as though you had to cite it as a landfill is going to be cited. That's a bigger process. But
Right. Individually,
the hog farms came to eastern North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And one hears along the way the people who live a mile away, and all of a sudden they're dealing with a hog farm in the neighborhood. The impact was not known right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if, yes, everything that is done, it's just common physics, is going to have an impact on something. But how about the idea of lessening that impact?
Well, to compare this with hog farms you have to understand, well, at least in my mind, one of the things is that, you know, hog farming was done on a scale that was unprecedented in any other parts of the nation. And I'll bet you anything that if North Carolina had the chance to do it on this scale again, the answer would be no. Landfills that's not a new experience. And again, this is where I think it's important for the state to own up to its responsibility of the regulation to make sure that these landfills don't outgrow their original intent or their original design. So that there are, you know, no impacts that weren't engineered for or planned for.
Ron Nowaczek, the bigger question here might be, we've talked about hog farms, we've talked about landfills possibly coming. Why is it that eastern North Carolina attracts those industries and not other ones? And these are the industries that's, you know, let Mikey eat it, you know, just that other places really don't want. Why eastern North Carolina getting those?
The biggest thing, I think, Melinda, with it is one of the biggest issues, and I think Rick touched on this earlier, is the educational issue. And this, I don't think eastern North Carolina is alone in this. I think this is affecting a lot of rural America in general. Eastern North Carolina has had a history in the past of being agriculturally based or manufacturing with what we would call low-cost manufacturing and having a low-cost labor force. I mean, several years ago, you know, North Carolina would advertise, Eastern North Carolina would advertise the fact that they had, for lack of a better term, a cheap labor force. Well, that's no longer the case. The cheap labor force is no longer cheap because we can go overseas, we can go to Mexico. Companies are leaving. So attracting industries that had historically been in this region or the agriculture is just not the future for rural America nor eastern North Carolina, and that's forcing us to look at our educational system, and we really need to look at workforce development and education as being a real important move to improve the economic well-being of eastern North Carolina.
Of course, education is a long-term investment. It takes a dozen years to educate somebody through the public school system, never mind going on to college. In the meantime, though, some of the forces that seem to be at play in eastern North Carolina is it's very rural, spread out.
Right.
You may not have a lot of neighbors right next, cheek by jowl, to the landfill. And land is cheap in some places in eastern North Carolina.
That, you actually hit on an important point. You said land is cheap in some places. Eastern North Carolina has the reputation of being an area where a lot of people are looking at for quality of life for retirees. I mean, it's become an area that people find attractive for coming for vacations to certain areas. There's a lot of waterfront area that go in quite a bit beyond the Outer Banks when you look at the various tributaries, estuaries, and waterways. So there are opportunities for eastern North Carolina to develop an area that will become attractive, first of all, for retirees, but also for tourism. And there's an area where we do have jobs that are available. If we increase our tourism industry, in this region, there are a lot of jobs that can be associated with it that, while not being high-paying jobs, are jobs nevertheless, and can perhaps provide some temporary relief for some of the problems that we might be seeing in this region.
Yeah, one of the landfills is being proposed in Camden County and another in Hyde County, not so far from Swan Quarter, which is one of those areas that folks are looking at waterfront property to buy. I wonder, though, if these landfills go into those places, does that have an effect on real estate in those areas and getting those ecotourism trades to be fostered?
I think that is a huge myth because, for example, I've never seen anyone stop because they've had to pass a landfill in order to get to the beach, and I can tell you that it's not going to happen in this state, given the love for the beach that most people have. But
I'm talking about those counties, those eastern North Carolina counties are talking about, they don't want to be the flyover counties or the drive-through counties, but attracting that ecotourism to those places because they have this unspoiled natural beauty at the moment. If the landfill is going plop in the middle of those counties, does that hurt the dollars that they want to attract to come and stay in their county, and never mind going out to Dare County and Kitty Hawk?
I don't see how a landfill is going to take those particular environments away. And people forget that in Southern California is literally an oil field. And some of the most priciest and beautiful real estate in Southern California, right along the gorgeous Pacific Ocean, you have oil wells, and you also have oil platforms out in the ocean that are visible from the beach. It has not slowed tourism. It has not slowed real estate development. It hasn't slowed anything. The great thing about the American economy and the American people is their ability to adapt.
Mm-hmm. Ron Nowacek?
Melinda, I would disagree with Rick on this. I think that in the immediate area where the landfill might be located, you might find that people are not going to be likely to locate there. Okay, we're talking about the retiree situation now. And the ecotourism, depending on where it's located, may have an impact on the local ecotourism of that region. And it may also be the case that, again, we hope that if this does come about, that there is no environmental problems down the road. But if there were, that could have some benefits, some impacts there that would be very negative for the region. So we have to be, I think, tread carefully here. And I think people have to keep their eyes open to ask how this is going to, how it will work in their immediate community. I mean, I think within Hyde County, for instance, when it's located there, people are going to have to ask themselves, what is it going to do to their local economy? Which right now, Hyde County, needs.
On the mainland side, you're talking.
Yeah, on the mainland side. Needs a lot of, a lot of help. I mean, that's clearly the case. Putting it there, though, there's a lot of wetlands there. How it's going to fit in there, and while there's tourists, many of the tourists are just driving through on 264 or taking the ferry to go to Ocracoke Island, they may not notice the landfill. Rick's right about that. It may not be a big thing if you're just driving through. But for those who may want to locate, if Hyde County makes it a case that on the mainland side, we want to really develop into areas where we can develop some subdivisions and create areas for retirees and also start some local ecotourism kind of things, it will play, I believe, into the decision, into the equation.
And again, we were talking earlier about the technology that would go into setting up the liner for such a dump. I guess I've gone through 46 years of life and think not everything is certain that it is not. It could leak. It could leach.
Yes.
And things that go into dumps, there might not be a whole lot of control. That there would be, for want of a better word, nasty stuff that goes there that then leaks. And you're in a low lying area in Hyde County, in an area where a lot of people are commercial fishing out there, gets into the Sound. And it may not be the aesthetic thing of seeing the tourists seeing it going by, but it could have that impact that you don't see.
Yes, and that's, being sensitive to the environment, especially the water table, is incredibly important and significant, and that's why the opportunity should be given right up front to make sure you have quality engineering and also to make sure that you closely regulate and monitor and do a lot of studies as to what goes into that landfill, because what goes in isn't going to come out.
Okay. Joy joins us from Wake County. Hi there, Joy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, welcome to the show.
Thank you for answering this call. I've been listening, and several of the questions that I had been answered. The gentleman talked about what the landfill held for him as he was growing up, and the smell and the trash and what have you. It seems like many times when populations are devalued, that all sorts of things are thrust upon those kinds of communities, and I've seen it time and time again, where if it's a rural, poorer community, people may not be as politically savvy, that these kinds of operations are placed upon them. I would like our guest to describe to us in detail, if possible, what a finished functioning landfill would look like, smell like, cost, and also whether or not the local residents, the grassroots, would gain anything. I hear him talk about tax base, but I'm curious to know what the local residents could look forward to this.
Okay,
I'll hang up and listen.
Joy, thank you for your call. The cost, this is a private industry that wants to set this up. This is not going to be a county landfill. So the cost is one, I guess when we're talking about the money here, is what could it bring to the county. That's what's on the table. That's the equation, Rick.
Yes, and again, I don't think that people in other parts of the state realize how desperate Eastern North Carolina is for resources, and it's significant to have that income to give back to the community in forms of education and economic development. One of the things that rural North Carolina at times is its advantage is its isolation, and at times it's also its curse. And there, that's why I am not going to advocate or tell these counties what they are going to do. But I do think it's importantly significant that all of the myths and all of the scare tactics, the Yankee dumps and all of that so forth, and that there is a qualified, open, intellectually honest debate so that the people in that area can decide, because I do think that this is an opportunity. And if they choose to pass by it, that's their right. But at least let it be made on an informed basis and not on a matter of some guy or people criticizing scenarios that aren't going to exist.
It does appear so far, Ron Nowaczek, that doesn't it, that the county leaders in most of these places have signed off on it. Bring it on.
Yes, at this point it appears that they're willing to listen, to discuss, to see it as an opportunity for revenue. I think, responding to Joy, one of the questions I think that has to be asked is what's going to happen with the money that comes in and how is it going to be used? Is it going to be used to, as Rick suggests, maybe education? What's it going to be used for? Is it going to help for economic development, for future work? Or is it going to be used to provide basic services that otherwise they haven't been able to provide because of their tax base, whatever the situation might be in those counties? The downside of this, of course, is that the one thing that Eastern North Carolina does have is some precious land that is unique. The wetlands, the environment, the areas that are out here that's attractive to a lot of people, we have to make sure we preserve that. And there's a trade-off. I mean, we're talking about an economic trade-off here. We have to ask the question, is it worth it to give up some of that area for a landfill so that we can bring in some additional dollars? And if we bring in those dollars, how are those dollars going to be used? One other thing I want to add to it, too, is, and I can't respond to Joy's question about what the landfill would look like. I'm not a waste management expert, so I don't know what this creature will look like when it is. I have the same expertise as anybody else does who drives by the highway and sees things that may be there. But the question becomes, one opportunity that if these things were put in, these landfills were there, is this is not an issue that's just in Eastern North Carolina. This is a national issue, this whole issue of waste management. And the opportunity that may present is for Eastern North Carolina, if they are located here, to try to attract other industry and technology to study waste management and look at ways of improving it and dealing with waste. And so there may be opportunities there to spin out other types of companies that may come to this region if we can develop the right kind of technology and look at how do we deal with what's there.
Are you talking there about, say, having scrap metal places nearby, or would this be creating methane?
I'm looking at, I wouldn't look at scrap metal as much as I think, because then again, you mentioned scrap metal, and immediately what comes into my mind is junkyards. But what I'm really thinking about is the technology that's going to have to be developed to deal with waste as it evolves. It may be methane, it may be other things. What is it that we can do with the waste that we're producing? Because we just can't keep burying it, and or piling it in this case. And so the question becomes, can we, if we have these landfills, attract other industry that are interested in the study of waste management and looking at it, making it as a profit, in other words, dealing with it in an environmentally sound fashion that will get us away from creating landfills all across the country?
That is an excellent point, because for example, well, here in the Triangle, I have friends from all over the country who keep on wondering why RTP continues to get so much biotech investment. And I tell them that one of the reasons is because you have an infrastructure here that spawns other related industries. And I think that one if you know that Mr. Nowichuk described is very significant, because in addition to what businesses do, in addition to when they're visiting an area, they ask existing businesses, how are you treated? How efficient is the local government? Do they work with you? Are they fair? And if that particular area of the country or state gets a reputation of, yes, they're fair, they're open-minded, they make the community is open, the waste management could be an asset in a lot of other different areas other than just, bringing in trash.
And I'm sure this conversation will continue, but it'll have to be some other time. I want to thank you both for joining us today. Rick Martinez writes a column that appears in the News and Observer, and Ron Nowichuk is the Associate Chancellor of Economic and Community Development at East Carolina University in Greenville. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
And just ahead, we will go a little farther out into Hyde County. We'll talk with author Tom Carlson about his book, actually Dare County, about his book, Hatteras Blues, A Story from the Edge of America, on the Outer Banks. Stay with us.